Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. You can find this in your church Bibles on page 623. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side, the road, and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Kai. Tracy, Fraser, do come and join me. Let me pray for you as you speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this family and we pray your blessing on them. Thank you for their time journeying around their partner churches and for their time here this morning. Would you give us attentive ears to all you are saying through them this morning to us as your family here. And would you bless them, we pray. Amen. I think you have to hold it quite close.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with a short video. There's no words you can hear, but there's some fairly small text, but the video just shows what MAF does. I do love that video. Actually, if you can have the first slide, it'll actually remind me what I'm supposed to be saying, so that'll be helpful. Sorry, maybe the second slide. This is us. And so who we are. I'm Fraser, this is my wife Tracy, and we've been serving with MAF with our 2 children, Oliver and Rosie, in Papua New Guinea for 4.5 years now, and we're going to go back in a few weeks to start serving somewhere slightly different, but within Papua New Guinea. Now, the first question that's well worth asking, what is math? That's the next one I should be talking about. I'll stick to the script. It's fine. Should I just carry on? So where is Papua New Guinea? If you're like me, your first response is somewhere in Africa. No, Papua New Guinea is north of Australia, sort of nestled between the Pacific Islands, Indonesia and Australia. Roughly, it's 5 times the size of England, has somewhere between 8 and 20 million people living in it, has 2% of the roads of the UK. It's tropical, but it's swamp in the lowlands. Volcanic mountains in the highlands, and has around 830 to 850 different languages. So there's that many different people, and it's fair to say that the people groups don't tend to get on or historically have not got on. So in that sense, that adds to the isolation. So MAF exists to see isolated communities transformed in Jesus' name. And we do that with 11 light aircraft. So we fly into places like Sangapi, which Tracy will talk about a little. But just to give an indication of the isolation, to get to that place, you would have to go through a river that's bigger than the Thames and prone to flash flooding, climb mountains up to about 13,000 feet. You'll go through jungle. And just to describe it, it's like a wall of vegetation. There's nothing I've come across it like it in the UK. Now, if you can imagine the equipment you'd need to climb a mountain, forge the River Thames, go through the jungle for about 2 days to get there. Now imagine you're with your pregnant wife or your son who's fallen out of a tree and cut his side open, or a broken ankle, or these kind of difficulties. From outside my office, I can land at that airstrip in 22 minutes, and that's the difference that a light aircraft can make to the lives of the people. So Tracy will talk about them somewhat more. What did we do there? Up until I left, I worked as the head of finance. I'm now actually stepping out of finance, which if you know any accountants, it's always in the back of their mind that maybe they should do something else. But the Papua New Guinean program is the largest program within MAF. So MAF operates globally, but about half of all the flying, roughly speaking, happens in Papua New Guinea. That doesn't make it bigger, or it makes it bigger. It doesn't make it more important. It's just the nature of the flying is different. And so the mission is just different to other places. So we fly doctors, teachers, nurses, pastors, students going to Bible school, as well as going to the universities. We fly the exam papers around the country. We also fly coffee and chocolate and vanilla out of these remote communities so they have money to pay for school fees, to pay for hospital fees, some solid roofing so they're not reliant on bush materials. The other thing I should say about Papua New Guinea, the levels of violence are very high, so if you're trying to cross anywhere, actually you don't know whether you'll be welcomed by the people who are inhabiting the land around, or whether your life will be in danger for crossing into that area, which makes access very, very difficult. So why are we here today? Yeah, sorry, my wife looked like she was getting up, sorry. So why are we here today, which is essentially to say thank you, thank you, thank you. None of this could happen without you, the church in the UK, and you here in this church supporting us through prayer, through encouragement, which you guys are wonderful at, and the financial giving that you do. Our salaries are paid for by this church so that we can go out and serve people in Papua New Guinea. And just to say what a delight it is for the Papua New Guineans who often feel, within my team, like they're there and they're trying to live out their best Christian lives, trying to work out what living with Jesus looks like in a place with very little infrastructure and high levels of violence. And to know that the church here remembers them, supports them, loves them, cares for them, simply knowing that is just a wonderful gift to them, along with all of the practical help and support we give.
I'm sorry, I'm so excited. I've preempted things. Also, I had a filling on Friday and my face still feels funny. So if I've got like grinning across this side of my face and the other face doesn't match, that's why. So good morning, family. It is an absolute privilege to be here doing paid overtime with you today. I'm going to go off piste. I'm sorry, Scott. We might run over by a minute, but I just felt just led to share with you. There was a moment on the highway in Mount Hagen where I'm driving along in our car that the Lord provided, white knuckled as usual, and I had this clarifying moment that has stuck with me and hopefully will do for the rest of my life. You know, in cartoons, you see a beaten up car and all the wheels are like that instead of like that. Well, I was driving past a car where all the wheels were like that. And I suddenly had this thought, because I'd already been giving my life into the Lord's hands every time I went on the highway, because there are no MOTs. There's no functioning car check system. So everyone around you might have really bad brakes, and that's every day. So I'd got used to giving my life to the Lord, but then I had this sudden moment of realizing he's given me an extra day. Isn't it amazing? My home, my destination is heaven. that's where I belong. But now, right now, on the highway, as I drive quick as I can past this car that could just explode into pieces at any moment at me, he's given me an extra day with him, paid overtime. I'm doing a bit extra for him today. And it just plopped into my mind this morning. There might be one or two of us who need to know we're being paid one extra day today to love and serve him here on earth before we go home. Anywho, so back to the next slide. That would be wonderful. We heard, didn't we, the story of the Good Samaritan. And in Tokpisin, which is one of the official languages of Papua New Guinea, the subtitle for it is Jesus, Histori lo man blo Samaria y helpin one plajuda. And we can see the people in that story, can't we? We have the guy who got beaten up by bandits. We have the donkey. We have the Samaritan. And we have the innkeeper. So the question that I always pose to new staff during our induction training week is, who is MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, in that story? Which role do we take as an organization? Any guesses? We could be the Good Samaritan. That is a wonderful answer, and that's the normal answer. But yeah, actually, we're the donkey. We are the donkey. We are the logistics. If the Samaritan didn't have a donkey upon which to plop a bloody, unconscious, potentially very heavy man, he wouldn't actually be able to help him very much, would he? He wouldn't be able to get him to the inn. So we are the logistics, we're the transport, we're the donkey. And so we wanted to talk a little bit, instead of talking more about our work, we want to talk about some of the Samaritans that we work with. Okay, so next slide, please. So we want to talk to you about Isaac and Melissa and their daughter Hannah. So these guys actually live in Sengapi, you know, where we went on a flight together, didn't we, in that video. Fraser and I have been there twice and met these guys. In fact, we met them once the first time and had such a great time with them. We asked if we could go back and see them on holiday and they said yes. And Melissa is now our daughter's mum, second mum. So they live there. They grew up in a town called Banz, which is in a neighbouring province to us. It's quite a peaceful province. There's not much fighting there. It's got the best hospital in Papua New Guinea. The town that they're in has got hardware shops. It's got supermarkets. It's got the best secondhand clothes shops in the universe, as far as I'm concerned. And it's got chicken and chips. It's even got like a hotel thing that has a swimming pool. In fact, there are a couple of swimming pools quite close to where these guys grew up. But what they chose to do is they chose to go to the nursing college at the hospital, which is run by Christians. They chose to take up a career with that mission organization, and they chose to obey the call to basically go and bury themselves at the back end of the universe, in the mountains in PNG. Now, bear in mind, these guys are actually a power couple. They're in their late 20s. Isaac is incredibly sporty. He's a great leader. You know, like he stands at the front and everyone listens. He can build anything. He has built a cookhouse for them that the whole village can come into, and they have the best youth nights in there eating popcorn. So he's an incredible leader. He's an incredible servant. Melissa, when she preaches, you just know the Lord has spoken. You know, she's one of those really wise people that if you weren't holy yourself, you'd be really envious of. And she's a great mum. She's a really great nurse. They run the health clinic together. And they've worked with MAF a lot on doing medical evacuations for women having problems in labour particularly, but lots of other health needs that come to them. So they work very closely with MAF. And we love to serve them because they've made the difficult Samaritan decision. They've chosen to go into a community that doesn't speak their language. It's in a different province. The language is completely different. So they speak to everyone in Tokpisin. So they've gone into a different culture, a different language. You know, weddings and funerals happen very differently there to what they're used to at home. It's culturally very different. They've chosen to go to a place where there are hundreds of children coming to school, but only one teacher who comes because the other teacher, they don't get paid by the government, so they don't come to work. So they're homeschooling their daughter at the back end of the universe because they follow the call of God. And so we wanted to just let you know, I mean, we got to be like the accountant and the training officer. Whoop, that's great. We've had a fabulous time. But it's actually guys like this throughout PNG are the reason why we're there. Because they are the ones taking the word of God out. They are the ones bringing help, hope, and healing in Jesus' name. And we get to be the donkey that carries them out there. That's the joy, actually, that all of us together in this church, we get to be part of their story and God's kingdom coming through them.
Thank you. And next slide, please. Yes, so what next for us? So, as mentioned briefly, we're moving to Bougainville, also known as the Autonomous Region of Bougainville. There was a civil war there for about 10 years over mining rights. It's one of the largest copper deposits in the world. The rivers run with gold, and chocolate grows like it's a weed. But the wealth wasn't shared fairly, and so civil war happened for a long time, and post then, reconstruction's been very slow. And now they're in a position, we've been invited by the government as well as the body that represents all the churches there. We've had several very strong invitations to come back and help them rebuild post-conflict. As an island, I think it's about the size of Wales or twice the size of Wales. I should point out, you see the yellow, the furthest east yellow blob of something? That's Bougainville. And there's a whole bunch of islands around there. And the current capital is actually right in the north there across a small, narrow strait disconnected from the mainland because of the history of the violence that had happened there. There's a string of volcanoes currently active down the middle. On one side, it just plunges into the Pacific Ocean, or is it the Bismarck Sea? The sea on that side, the sea on this side. I'm just going to read it because I can't remember. The Solomon Sea, there we go, it's on the Solomon Archipelago. It plunges into the Solomon Sea where it's full of crocodiles and sharks, but it is just sort of a cliff off the volcano into there. And on the other side, the water runs off these mountains down the ridge, and there was a road that went down one side, but the river is quite recalcitrant, and it starts off there and you build a bridge, then 2 years later it's somewhere over there. So you find this bridge going across the fields whilst you've just gone through a big river. So actually trying to do infrastructure in that country and connect the 400 to 500,000 people who live there is really difficult. And again, a light aircraft can make that leap very rapidly. So we're looking to restart operations there to get the health system back up and running, which is currently declared non-functioning, the education system. And just one of these stories I want to share, I went there very briefly, and I met with the president, which was amazing, and a number of other high-ranking officials as we're trying to work out how to start up. And they're currently writing the constitution because they're going to get independence in the next few years. And they've got a plan for what to do with the money, of how they're going to rebuild this country, which back in the 70s had two yacht clubs. It was a prosperous, industrious nation before the or area before the war. And all of them have a story. Oh, I'm alive today because my mum was flown in the 70s by MAF. And so I'm alive. Or the guy who's writing the constitution or the lawyer involved is like, I've got my law doctorate because MAF got me to the mainland from my place, term in, term out. And there's story after story of all the older people I met who have an education wanting us back because they see the link between getting the people access to health, education, and the church being active in that as the way of building their country back up, to getting it back on its own 2 feet. So that's an exciting place. And so we are, as a family, we can go and support them in doing that again. We will play our part in helping them rebuild their country.
Okay, and I'll just gallop through this last bit because actually we're going to be around for coffee and tea afterwards. We've got our updated prayer cards and fridge magnets, woo, that you can come and get for us, and some fresh vanilla as well. But just wanted to say, what's the response to anything that we've said? Well, firstly, we would love it. We would so love it if you could take our prayer cards, tape them to your fridge and pray for us, because actually it's only through your prayers that MAF can be part of God's kingdom coming. So please do that for us. We would love it if you could be part of the community that's giving here. And if you feel that God's speaking to you specifically about contributing towards our personal needs, whoop, we're not going to say no to that. So if you feel like the Lord is speaking to you about that, come and speak to us again at the end. And also go. We know, and Scott's already talked about it, we are commanded by the Lord to go. And our encouragement to all of us and our own hearts is we don't actually all have to go as Samaritans, do we? You know, the headliner, the one with the big ministry. We can go as donkeys. So maybe just take 10 seconds right now. Is the Lord bringing to your mind an organization or an individual who is doing a work that's a really tough work and they need some logistical support? They need a donkey. They need a driver. They need a hot meal once a week. They need someone to do some babysitting. Who could you be a donkey to? Okay.
You're losing an avocado tree, I imagine. You had a wonderful avocado tree in your old garden, didn't you? So that's gone. That is sacrificed right there.
You get a mango tree.
Okay, well, that's not bad either. Come up, Fraser, and we can pray for you. How can we pray for you? So you're here for another month-ish?
Yes.
And then you fly back?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how can we pray for you as a family as you move back? I guess you're going via Singapore and...
A few days in Cairns.
Okay.
Because we're going to a program. There's one other couple who are there, and you know, we'll be changing house, changing job, changing country, changing climate, and jet lagged. Well, we can not jet lagged off of there to sort of help
ease
that family
in.
As we arrive in chaos. So yeah, praying for our transition would be amazing.
Okay.
And do join with us in praying for aircraft are expensive, and we need an aircraft. And only the Lord can provide that. And so join with us in prayer for...
Yeah, so if you've got friends who own private jets and they want to club together and buy us a flying donkey, we'd love to hear from you. Also, transition for the family and obviously friends for the children, but also we're going to be job sharing the management of the program, which is great that MAF are happy to experiment with this on the new thing that we feel like the Lord is calling us into together. So,
let me do. Let's just pray for Tracy and Fraser. And Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this family. We thank you for Tracy, for Fraser, for Rosie and Oliver. Thank you for this call that you've placed on them. Thank you for their obedience and faithfulness in hearing and going as you've called them. And Father, for all that is ahead of them in this next month of hopefully some rest before they head back, we pray that this transition would be smooth, that they would know your leading and your presence with them. Pray too for this new role for them as a couple, that they would know that it would actually draw even more out of them and the best out of them as they work together. Father, for all that is ahead of them, we pray too for these relationships going forward, for the children and for Tracy and Fraser, but relationships too with the presidents and others who are in this part of the world. Pray that there would be people of peace that they would find and would come alongside. So Jesus, thank you for this call. Thank you for their faithfulness. And we pray your blessing on them as they enter this new season of ministry. Father, thank you that you called them into this adventure of faith rather than an M&S sandwich, as we heard a couple of years ago. And so, Father, that picture of adventure and of following your call, just pray that for this family. Bless them, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Tracy and Fraser are around for coffee after the service, so do make sure you check in with them. And the magnets are very good. They can withstand wind coming in from the garden. It keeps all the girls' stuff on the fridge. So do take a magnet and pray for them as they go. Thank you very much.
And do come and ask us questions.
Yes, do.